changing, ongoing, seemingly fast, seemingly slow, changing inside, changing outside. Everything is changing. Body, mind, thoughts, feelings. These body, mind, thoughts, feelings are not things. Ongoing change. They're not solid, not fixed. They're not nouns, though we often act and react as if they were nouns. Nouns, things. I've used the word verbing. It's okay to call them verbing, ongoing change, except that in English, or in most Indo-European languages, we need or assume subject and object along with verbs, along with changing. Changing in ways we want, changing in ways we don't want, changing close, changing far. Yes, there are many levels of this cause effect that we call changing. Some we think we know, many we don't know. An ancient way of saying this is that where there is this, there is that. And where there is not this, that is not. Changing and what we want are connected for us. For us, this mystery of arising that we are right now. This mystery arising, including arising thoughts, feelings, bodily conditions, mind conditions. And are seemingly connected for us to what we want, what's okay, what's not okay, being satisfied, being unsatisfied, what is so for us, what is not so for us. All of this is ongoing change, though part of this mystery that is human is our assumption in many instances and many ways that it is not changing, but that it's some solid, fixed, separate self. I called verbing, we don't have to call it that, but it's a made up word. Verbing is changing. It's not from one fixed way to another, but this ongoing change, which we could say, this ongoing process of being alive. Ongoing process. Ongoing mystery. Ongoing not knowing. And in the midst of this ongoing, changing mystery, it includes feelings, thoughts, and all the other body, mind, which is we're just calling body, mind. Even body, mind are not two, there are no two things, but that's fine. Body, mind, process. We have wanting things, wanting the way it appears and seems in my mystery of feelings, thoughts, sensations, awareness, even experiencing, wanting things, so-called inside, so-called outside, myself, others, the world, to be or not to be a certain way. Wanting it that way is guaranteed. In the midst of this ongoing change, in the midst of this verbing, is guaranteed to result in unsatisfactory, unsatisfying process moment. Guaranteed to result in suffering in some ways, because it is changing. We are changing. We, in all the big and small ways that we are, or we are being changing. So, Zazen, our practice, opportunity, life is right in the midst of changing. It is this very changing, and it's not hindered by changing. When we chant the Enmei Juku Kanon Gyo, the Ten Clause Kanon Sutra, one phrase is thought, thought, moment, nen, nen, jushin. We translate it thought, thought, but you could call it awareness, awareness moment, or experiencing, experiencing moment. In other words, moment, moment. Really, it's moment is even too long, because it's, I don't know how many thousand thought moments arise and pass in 1 second. And you could say, well, that's just in the sutra, in the chant. But of course, the more scientific explorations are occurring, we discover how much science confirms, to the extent that we see things now, this ongoing change, these enormous thought moments, processes, if we call it that, that we can verify electronically, biochemically. Of course, we only see traces of it in brain functioning, in body functioning. We see traces of it, or we see traces of it in other scientific investigation. Or just like when we look at a, well, I shouldn't say look at, but I'll say it in that way. We try to look at an atom and try to see the parts, so to speak, in the movement. But of course, as soon as we look, that changes the very ongoing moving, processing, verbing of life, which is, causes us difficulties if we want to have fixed measurements. So we agree on a semi-fiction that works of saying these are things, and we look at a certain part and work on that. In a similar way, Zazen is a process, and the process is this experiencing moment, whether we call it particular aspects, breathing, being present, noticing, so we can say we do Zazen, be this, if I say, koan mystery of not knowing, or this noticing thought and opening. Of course, there's nothing closed to open, but opening to this experiencing, allowing experience, and even say, I am doing this, but of course, no such fiction, but we say it nevertheless. I am doing this, but I am not a thing. You are not a thing. No one, no thing is a thing. Because it's ongoing changing, as I said. Some seemingly slow, some seemingly fast, some slow and fast at the same time. So seemingly a boulder or a mountain doesn't change, and yet if we look at the boulder or mountain on another level, it's constantly changing movements of molecules and atoms and within atoms. So it's changing, not changing, thing, not thing, all at the same time. Zazen is being this changing, not changing moment of our life, not having to figure out what word is the right word, but this doing beyond words, which is what our Zazen is. Even though we use words as useful tools, unfortunately, the tools can often lead us to try to consider and deal with this mystery called life in a fixed way, just as looking for parts of the atom can lead to and affect how and what you see. Nevertheless, it's what we use until we don't need it, until it uses us, until we go beyond this using. So Zazen, and I say Zazen in the broadest sense of Zazen, of our whole life, our whole Sesshin being this verbing process, Zazen, enables us to be and to see this that we are in the midst of ongoing changing, being this changing that is our life, which we always are, and which we resist. And Zazen does not hinder our life, does not hinder our death, does not hinder this that we are. Even life, death, are not nouns. At least, though we use the words, we need to be clear that there are not these noun things. And in the midst of this life, various ongoing changing arises as body, thoughts, feelings, states, including fear, including various others, and I'll just pick this fear up to start by talking about. That Zazen is making friends with fear, making friends with this experience, making friends of this moment, including this arising as is, not something called fear, but this arising, if we say thought, emotion, fear, if we want to say it another way, might be reasons, explanations, not to be here, not for this to be this way. This is too is ongoing changing that's arising. Who is wrong? Who is right? What is wrong? What is right? All of these states are ongoing changing. Ongoing changing, cause effect. We don't have to have the explanation of it all. Some of it we get to see, some of it we don't. But our Zazen, our practice, our life is the opportunity of being intimacy, being this intimacy of ongoing change that is Buddha nature, that we call Buddha nature. Of course, again, don't think there's some Buddha nature thing somewhere else separate from this ongoing change. It's just a skillful way that we have of speaking of it, of encouraging us, encouraging each other, encouraging others to be this experiencing, if I say it, to be this Zazen experiencing, which allows us to skillfully relieve suffering, relieve the unsatisfactoriness of the change as it is right now. Because it's the unsatisfactoriness, suffering, which creates difficulties for us, creates ongoing pain that need not be, that need we need not suffer and need not cause harm to others. And that's what we want. Or we could believe and hold to the suffering, the unsatisfactoriness, and do all sorts of things that perpetuate it. When there is this, there is that. When there is suffering, fear, anger, there is harmful consequences for so-called ourself and so-called others. See? Zazen isn't resisting or enduring ongoing change. It's being this ongoing change which need not be resisted or endured. It's being this ongoing change in the midst of the many realms that we call five skandhas, which is just another way of talking about our life inside, outside. It's the, if I say it, the processes that is us this moment. Neither adding anything nor subtracting anything. See, experiencing This doesn't add and doesn't subtract. It is being, this ongoing change, this everything, everywhere changing that is who we are. It's the so-called I which is changing, and the so-called others, so-called inside, so-called outside, mind, body. So, in a way, very simple, being ongoing change, ongoing being this Buddha that you, I, everyone you encounter is. So what is our task? In a way, you could say our task in Zazen, our task in life, is allowing ongoing changing, including ongoing changing reactive habits, to arise. When we fight, then we have difficulty. But allowing arising means allowing passing, because changing is arising, passing. It's not arising and staying permanent. That's a daydream. Things don't stay permanent except we believe that. So that's experiencing. That's being human. Being human is this. Being body, mind, universe is this. Being Zazen is this. If we all took a breath, inhalation now, and didn't allow passing, we would all collapse. At least most of us here, as far as I know. You. Exhaling is part of inhaling. It's the arising, passing of the moment. See, there's no need to figure out anything, to know anything, to do anything, because it's who we are. Unless there's a need for some sort of responsive manifesting. Responsing. Another made-up word. Responding according to this moment. Experiencing according to all that comes together as you are, both so-called reactive habits and both so-called bodhisattvic intentions and vows. Includes all your reactive habits, all my reactive habits. That's the truth, even though we don't want to believe it right now. Try it. Take a breath and don't exhale and see what happens. Unless you hold very strongly, the exhalation just occurs of itself. See? In truth, there's nowhere and no thing we can really stick to. There isn't, though we sometimes tell ourselves that we stick to things. There's no thing that we can entangle in. Yet, there is where we stick to despite not being able to, or at least seemingly stick to, because it's arising, passing, the same so-called thing. That's where there is this, there is that. That's the cause and effect. Where we stick to and entangle, nevertheless, we become entangled in. We become stuck in, and we have the consequences, if I say it that way, of unsatisfactoriness, of stress and suffering, of doing harm. I'll even say so-called doing harm to ourselves and so-called doing harm to others. So, experiencing Zazen, because it's who you are, because it's who we are, doesn't require anything extra of it. See? It doesn't require us to add some special abilities. The willingness, what we have, our choice, is our willingness and ability to experience in spite of being reactive, in spite of habits of self-centeredness, in spite of reactions of anger, greed, confusions, fear, which all make things into solid, what's not solid, turn into nouns. She's such a bitch. Someone says that, you've turned something into a noun. He's such a son of a bitch. Again, turn something into a noun. And could have a lot worse, curses and anger. We turn people, things, ourself into noun. Even though we each have our own ways of creating and reacting from this anger and greed, and we do it differently with different circumstances, with different so-called mental, physical conditions and time. And yet, when we do that, we fictionalize this ongoing change into something solid, into self and others. See, so our practice, which is doing our best right now, is being this ongoing changing. And being this ongoing changing is being this that we always are. So what does Dogen say in Genjo Koan? He has a nice expression talking about the nature of what we are, which is this enlightened experiencing, or enlightenment experiencing, or this practice enlightenment, which is experiencing, which is our life right now. He says, it is like the moon reflected on the water. Now, all of you have seen moons reflected on water. If you don't want moons, use a different image. You could even talk about the street light reflected in a puddle. That's fine. The moon does not get wet, nor is the water broken. Although the light is wide and great, the moon is reflected in a puddle an inch wide in water of any size. The whole moon and the entire sky are reflected in dewdrops on grass and even in one drop of water. So, we'll say it differently. Our whole life in each moment is nothing but this ongoing change, practice, enlightenment manifesting right now. And our opportunity is experiencing this moment as it is, as we are. This moment as it is as we are. as you hear this, you don't have to hear this as anyone else. Some of us hear better, some of us hear so-called not as good. Better, worse is just a daydream. There's no other way to hear this than as you heard it. No other way that it should sound. No other who that should hear it. No other what that should be. And you don't need any particular sound. Exactly this moment, your life, or if I say it back to your body mind experiencing, exactly where and how this now is your practice effort, your life effort opportunity. So all we are doing here together is supporting each other in doing this, in our zazen, in our day, in our, I'll go back to verbing, changing, that is sashin, that is sitting together. Okay, that's enough for me to start now, and we'll continue this tomorrow in a different vein. But I wanted to get us started in this way so that we're clear on what it is we're doing, because what we are doing is what has the most value for us. It's not something else. It's not something that will come to you from anywhere else. It's only your own life opportunity. So I'll stop now and see if maybe some of what I said, we need some clarification or need something else. And where I speak, there's an opportunity for you to speak. Where there is this, there is that. So I'll stop now. If you want to change your position, feel free to. Isn't it nice to hear what we say to ourselves when we say, legs killing me, back killing me? If we hold that, then there's already the sense of where we're making this two things, this pain and me, somehow wanting to be two separate things, as opposed to the extent I can, be this experiencing that I'm calling legs killing me. In one way, look, who's this me that's killing, being killed, being pained by this legs? Being legs killing is fine. If there's a need to move, move. if there's the opportunity to see, I don't like this killing, I don't like this painting, see that and see what the response of our life is to this. When we have our legs crossed and we're still, then yes, pain sometimes arises. It's the experiencing of what is this arising in all the circumstances of our life that is our opportunity. We don't sit still because there's a need to have some painful situation. That isn't our practice. But in sitting still, sometimes painful situations occur. And sometimes other situations occur. It's our willingness to enter it without knowing, without holding to, I shouldn't have this, this is too hard, this isn't what I want, that is our opportunity. The natural cause and effect results of all the thing, all the thoughts we've held to, is to say, this is killing me, I don't want this, I shouldn't have this, this is mine, this is not mine. It's just the result of the cause and effect that comes together as our life. It's part of what being human is. We've sat still for an extended period, our legs ache. You move, we move, the ache changes. Changing ache, aching are both equally fine manifestations of this ongoing change that is our life. This hearing, the way we hear right now, some of us better, some of us worse, seeing as we see, whether with glasses or without, with eyes that are more sharp, so to speak, or less sharp, is the process of ongoing change that is who we are. We aren't anything else. You could look, one practice sometimes is looking, who is, when we say me, I don't want, I do want, killing me. You're not going to find a me answer in there, but the very process of looking allows us to see how much we construct that solid me in the midst of this ongoing change. When you need to move, stretch your legs out.
But when we're sitting, the practice is not to move.
That's right.
So,
and to stay with that. Stay
so
with the experience.
To see without necessarily trying to fix it is this me who doesn't like it. And there's, I think sometimes there's a suggestion that we need to be other than what we are right then, which is, I hate this. I don't know what he's talking about. I wish this would end. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the awakened life. It's seeing, I don't like this.
Yes.
And I don't get it. And
yes,
there's nothing that we have to fix.
That's
no
right.
Neutral position that we have to adopt. Well, this will come and go. That's adding something else to it, because it doesn't always go. That doesn't seem to go. But yeah, it's miserable.
Wouldn't quite call it miserable, but
well, I would.
So,
because I'm the one who's saying it's miserable.
Yes, you're right. There are times when all sorts of thoughts come and go. The coming and going of thoughts is one thing. the saying it's me and I should suffer with the thoughts that I don't want or the feelings that I don't want and therefore suffering about it is where we get into trouble with it, where we in a sense separate ourselves from what is the process of being this moment, of experiencing this moment, of believing a piece of it as a result of whatever, believing pieces of it to be what determines if life is satisfactory and joyous, or what determines if life is miserable and able to be made miserable by the changing conditions. Yes, that's true. The practice of Zazen illuminates and allows us to see how this, in the midst of this ongoing change, we swoop down on and hold on to certain thoughts and feelings and exclude much of the rest of our life. And in holding on to those particular thoughts, feelings, we create suffering. And we create harm for ourselves. And we create harm for others in reactions to those. The aching legs are in the midst of this whole body that we are, this whole body-mind processing of this whole space of the universe that includes feeling, seeing, thinking, etc., etc. And yet we tend to hold on to and entangle in certain aspects of it and make them solid. And we make ourselves solid and pained or stressed because of that.
But I don't think the point of life is not to be stressed. The point of life is not to be pained. It's what's happening right now. Where I get caught is I think I should change something. I should think like Gemya. Reeling around in my head, oh, that's what I need to do, and then I'll get out of this shithole I'm in, and everything will be joyous, as opposed to, this is just my life. I'm seeing my life, and all those negative things are negatively cast things like grasping and, yes, holding on to, and there's pain and there's suffering and whatever. That's my life right now. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to do anything with it because we're kind of trapped here, so there's no getting away from it, and you get an opportunity to just see it. Whereas normally you would do something, right? You would jump. You would eat something. You would smoke something. You would drink something. You would daydream about something. You would somehow get out of this thing that's always going on, which is this somewhat often dissatisfaction.
Well, it's what you're saying is it's being this experiencing, which is not necessarily the way you described it, except that when we focus on certain aspects of it, the focusing is no big deal. It's the holding to that particular focus. It's sticking to that to the exclusion of all else that makes it pain, because pain is just pain. Even misery is just misery. But yet, misery is not solid misery when we are able to be the experiencing of it, because then it doesn't entangle us and cut us off from the rest of our life. It's not that it isn't going to be there. It's that it doesn't become what determines our condition. It determines who and what our life is. Determines whether we're able to be, if you want to say, peaceful. I'll even say joyous. Or at least satisfied and not suffering. Doesn't mean we won't be pained, but it does mean we don't have to add suffering. Now, of course, these words are words, and then we start using them and we start saying, is this suffering? Is that suffering? See, then we're again looking for nouns and trying to apply words as if we're applying to things. It's this experiencing process. However it is, whether it's a drop of water, an inch of water, a puddle, a lake, an ocean, a universe, all of them are nothing but this experiencing. And each of them contains the moon, if I use that expression. Or I'll say it, since you brought, each of them contains this satisfactoriness and the joyousness that is our life in the midst of the puddly water, in the midst of the frigid water, in the midst of the aching legs, in the midst of the thoughts about how much I hate being here, being still now, having to think about this, having to feel and remember that story, etc., etc. Nowhere else, no one else that you need to be. Nothing else you need to be. And yet, there's the opportunity not to entangle. Then we see that we aren't who we think, feel, and so forth think we are. That's not me. It's not other than me, but it's not who I am either. Therefore, I can be who I am, which is a talk for another day. This is why talking is just to encourage us to do, and hopefully it encourages rather than discourages. It's Sashin is not about talking, it's about the morning tonight experiencing, which is really not morning tonight, but it's moment moment. Morning's long gone, night's long gone, afternoon isn't even right now, it's just this moment. Yeah.
So, I think I hear you saying that pain and suffering are two different things. Is suffering something that you've added onto the pain and now you're suffering?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, I mean, you know, these are words and it's... We have to be careful because, so provisionally I would say that's a fine way to distinguish pain and suffering. However, they sometimes become so entangled that suffering is pain and there isn't these two things, so then we can use a different word. But provisionally, yes, or we want to use a word unsatisfactoriness of fine, use unsatisfactoriness and stressful so that there's pain, and if you want to say suffering, fine, there's mental suffering that are just part of the process of being human. It's just comes with the package. In other words, where there's birth, there's going to be pain. It's part of the process of having nerves and having bones and flesh. I mean, not having, but being, embodying that means that if we live, conditions at times will result in pain. It's like a car can have the windows go up and go down. And sometimes the windows go up and sometimes the windows go down. And sometimes flesh is pain when it's cut, when it has disease, etc., etc. There's something that we entangle with it, which we can call suffering, we can call unsatisfactoriness, we can call it's that's added on in the process of this being human when we're blinded by our nouning of self and other, our nouning of life, our entangling in solidifying based on what I want and don't want. And you don't have to believe me. Look for yourself in your own life. See, in a sense, what we do here is we have laboratory experiments. It's called laboratory experiments with our life. In fact, our whole life is a laboratory experiment. But here, it's a simplified one for us to enable us to continue this experiment in our daily functioning with our activities, with those that we're with, and to see what so-called works and what so-called doesn't work. So, to go back to Munshin's example, if my legs are hurting and I keep telling myself, I'm so miserable, I hate this, I'm miserable, I hate this, and another day we don't do that, we'll notice that despite our legs being painful both days, when I keep on saying, I'm miserable, I hate this, I'm miserable, I hate this, I'm miserable, at the end of the afternoon of being miserable and hating it, we might be even more miserable and might be even more pained and might remember how painful we are for the rest of the day, even when we're off walking and the leg pain seems to be gone, but then, oh, that leg pain, that was so terrible, I shouldn't have had that, it was too much for me, it must have been I did something wrong, etc. Why me? Why does it always happen to me? Other people don't get that leg pain. I'm sure they don't. They couldn't. It's only, you know, mine is the unique one. In that sense. But look for yourself and see. And also see the other way. See how it is when we do, in a sense, be intimate, make friends with, be this intimacy of experiencing. See, be this experiencing that gives ourselves to the changing moment, breathing in, breathing out, sound, body feelings arising, and so on and so forth. The problem, of course, is as we language it, as I speak of it, it becomes something solid because we want to think about it as opposed to hearing the words and then letting them go. We don't have to hold on to anything. See? See what's true for you. See what you discover. So my speaking is just to encourage you to discover for yourself in your own life laboratory. And hesitate to use the words for discovering, because the words, thinking about it, is that, what should I say? Solidly fixing microscope that creates solidity and nouns out of ongoing movement process. How's that? I don't know what.
That's the title of a book.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Thinking about it, I'll try to recreate that, creates solidity in the midst of ongoing change. I'll simplify it. It does. And we could see it because then we tend to repeat what we think about. And we tend to believe that it's all the more solid as we've thought about it. It's the way I thought about it. And we come to conclusions about it. And then we solidify our conclusions. He is, she is, I could never, I shouldn't have to, etc., etc. And then, well, if I shouldn't have to, then I should become angry because I shouldn't have to, and I have to, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, where did this anger come from? Oh, I don't know. It came from the solidity of things. See, anger, fear come from solidifying our life. Or dualizing. Making dualistic myself and others, self and what shouldn't be self. But that's, I need talks for other days, so I need to stop. Otherwise, I won't have anything more to say.
More material.
but I, please. Yes.
I'm not quite sure how to ask this. The example that Steve gave was physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it almost seems to me like physical pain is easier to work with than sort of painful, what do you call them, emotion thoughts or habits of mind. I guess I'm specifically thinking about fearful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That when I'm caught in that, everything else is shut out.
Yes.
And it seems harder to, how you want to say it, make contact or be experiencing being caught up in thoughts like that than mm-hmm. the physical. Painful physical sensations.
Yes, and that's exactly the reason I would encourage noticing, labeling thought, not to get rid of it, or to judge it, but the labeling enables us to notice and for a moment to open up that caught upness so that we can be the experiencing, which includes the thought, the painful emotion thought, but in a sense opens to this bodily experiencing, to this whole body mind functioning experiencing of this moment. See, it's because, as you say, it does seem so natural and true that we're caught up around those thoughts, feelings, that she is so terrible for saying that, and he is always mean to me, and what am I going to do if this happens? And we are literally solidified around that. We've nounified ourselves. We've made ourselves solid around it, and it goes around and around, and we're in it, which is why, as one practice, encouragement, support, is to label that so that for a moment we can open it to the experiencing, whether it's breathing, whether it's body, whole body, mind experiencing, or that other is to grab that and turn and look who's being miserable or who's, or various other ways. But you're right. Those are the ones that are much more entangling for us, much more solid. And they continue almost subterranean. A little bit we notice them, a lot we don't even notice, but we feel the consequences, which is the misery that seeps out of them and that they keep on creating. It creates it so it seeps into all the rest of our functioning during the day, and it pops up its head, so to speak, every so often in our day, or even in our sitting, or in our life functioning, or when we see someone and all of a sudden we spew it out at them. Who knows where it came from? It popped up. That's why we have various suggestions of how to practice. It's really nothing extra we need, just experiencing. And yet, if we approach experiencing, approach our zazen, approach our life as if there's this solid me as opposed to this ongoing change me, then we get into trouble. If we just be this ongoing changing moment that is our life, then experiencing is just ongoing changing. It is just this that we are. So, don't have to believe anything I said because it's all gone. You only have whatever traces that arise when they arise, because when there's this, there's that. So traces might appear, fine. If they're useful, make good use of them, but no need to hold them. If they are useful, they might show up again, and they're just encouragements, like the whole of the universe, encouragements for us to be this ongoing change life that is us, that is what we call Buddha nature, that is, I could use all sorts of other words, but I'll stop now. And in doing zazen, just it is all clear. It's clear just as it is. So, thank you.